Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Support for the Cannon Fire podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at BetOnline.ag. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And of course, they've always got the online casino, which never closes. So head over to BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Once again, BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers from the 48-yard line. Second down, 13. Brady lobs one downfield. Caught, ball by Gronkowski. Inside the 20, to the 15, 10. Gronkowski to the 5, to the 4-yard line. Holy guacamole.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Those up the middle. It's intercepted at the 30. Derrick Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 25, 20. Derrick Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, baby!
This is the big nasty. Yeah, big nasty Hall of Fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother. You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast, live on YouTube today. For episode 208, it is the weekly Cannon Fire Mailbag Show. Pleasure to have you. And we have got some very big news to kick off this week's show. Just another guy you can add to the list of people that I never, ever, ever thought I would see in a Buccaneers uniform. With the secondary a little bit beat up, the Bucs made a move. They went out and signed former All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, cornerback, Richard Sherman. How about that? Now, obviously, Richard Sherman is not what he was when the Legion of Boom was still around, but I think it's a good veteran presence for this secondary. I know the argument has been made that Carlton Davis is enough of a vet himself, but I still think a guy like Richard Sherman helps, especially when you have two guys who have been there and done that. But a secondary that needed help, the Buccaneers go out and find their guy. It is a one-year deal worth up to $2.25 million, $500K guaranteed. And happy to have him in Tampa Bay. So welcome to the Buccaneers, Richard Sherman, and welcome back to the Cannon Fire Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host, the Philly Bucs fan himself, Mr. Evan Wanish. Rocking the shades tonight. What's the special occasion, my friend?
Nothing. Just, I don't know. I just felt like I was too cool for school. I'm one of those cool guys that can wear shades inside, I guess. I don't know. I feel like kind of like a douchebag, but
you felt like stepping out.
Is what it is a little bit, you know. Gotta step out every now and then. So mailbag show. It's more of a laid back show. So I figured, hey, why not act like a cool guy and rock the shades for this one? We won't do it every time. Probably won't do it ever again, but for this one, why not?
We're going to be answering your guys' submitted questions. We got a couple of emails we'll get to. Of course, we'll talk about the latest Buccaneer news as well. In the live chat, really quickly, shout out to Fresh the Killa and Joey Salas, a couple of the first guys in here. We'll get to your questions in a minute. If you do have any questions throughout the course of the show, well, that's the nature of the mailbag show. Drop them in the live chat, and we will make sure we get to you as quick as we can. But let's talk about Richard Sherman and what he brings to the table. Like I said before, he is not the Richard Sherman of old. He's not coming here to be your cornerback one. But I think he is a breath of fresh air for this secondary when you don't have to rely on guys like Dee Delaney as much anymore. Now, the initial report with Sherman said that he is expected to play Sunday versus the Patriots. When both Bruce Arians and Richard Sherman were asked about it, both of them were kind of cautious. Sherm said he needs like a week to get ready. Bruce said he probably will not play unless the team absolutely needs him. So what do you think? Are we going to see Richard Sherman on the field this Sunday, or are we better off waiting until next week?
Yeah, most likely I don't think you'll see him. I really don't think, you know, obviously it came out, Rick Stroud, I think, was the guy who said at first that, you know, he could play. Obviously, even if he is going to play, it's not going to be like 90% of the snaps or something, but I wouldn't really expect it. It doesn't sound like that's something Sherman's expecting, even though he did say, like he said, it'd be foolish to think that he could, but like if the team needs him to do it, like he can, like he would. Like, I don't think that's the issue. It doesn't sound like Sherman's expecting it. It doesn't sound like it's something Bruce Arians is expecting. So I would bet. And also the other thing, you know, we got an update on Jamel Dean. That's not as serious as maybe one thought. And he actually, Jamel Dean was limited in practice today. So maybe Jamel Dean is able to play, and that helps it out a little bit. So I wouldn't expect Sherman this week.
Yeah. And really quickly in the live chat, I like this one. And then we'll get to my next question about Richard Sherman. Our buddy Kyle says, you remember when I wanted the Bucs to draft a corner early in the draft, someone like Asante Samuel Jr., and Evan said it wasn't something we needed? Now, I will say...
Hang on.
All right, it was addressed to you, so I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, okay. So I always get the... I believe it was Tyson Campbell from Georgia, who I said the Bucs should draft in the second round if he got there. Obviously, he didn't make it there. He was the first pick of the second round, I think, by Jacksonville. So I think a lot of people ask me about drafting a corner in the first round, and that's where I said, like, no, okay? And that's also where I'm not saying the Bucs didn't need it. I said that because of Carlton Davis pending free agent status. I'm saying that I didn't think it was likely that they were going to do it, and they didn't. So take that.
I will also say that going into the season, especially during the draft, right, you can't account for injuries at all. I saw somebody say recently that the Bucs might have been a little too overconfident with the secondary group they had coming into the season. I mean, what do you think of that? Because at the same, like, I want to say, you know, these guys are fresh off a Super Bowl. I know they're still young, still kind of figuring it out. But like, why wouldn't you be, right? Sean Murphy Bunting, Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis, who has had a solid year. Sean Murphy Bunting, of course, has been hurt. Jamel Dean been back and forth with injury. So it's like, you know, injuries happen and you sign a Richard Sherman. If injuries did not happen, I don't think the Bucs are obviously signing Richard Sherman this week. So for anybody who wants to backtrack to stuff like that, I don't know the logic there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they did win a Super Bowl, and I get, you know, the thing of not wanting to hold on to last year as much. I get it. But, you know, a lot of that was due to the pass rush, and a lot of, like, it was due to them playing well, sure. But you also saw, like, issues during the regular season with defending the pass. Like you saw that, right? They were clearly better against the run than the pass. And now, I mean, teams aren't even attempting to run against them. And they're getting in trouble. And normally you'd say, oh, well, that makes an offense one-dimensional. That's good. No, it's not good in this case.
Yeah, not when you can throw for 400 yards passing every week against the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, it's really remarkable. And obviously, like you said, you can't predict injuries. I mean, Sean Murphy Bunting goes down with, you know, in what I think it was the second drive. It was Dallas's second drive. Sean Murphy Bunting goes down. And then Jamel Dean, you know, had a rough game versus Dallas, played well versus Atlanta. Carlton Davis actually got banged up a little bit versus Atlanta. He hasn't been 100% healthy. And Jamel Dean obviously left the game versus the Rams, and he's been pretty sore. So, you know, it's like you said, it's you can't predict injuries. And I'm not sure, if they don't have these injuries, I'm not sure if Sherman's brought in, because I think you would see a better product, a little bit of a better product. I'm not saying it would be shut down, because I think there's still issues and stuff with the pass rush not getting there and the linebackers not being good enough in coverage and stuff. But
it's also still early in the season.
Yeah, it's only a third game, guys. They played three football games, right? So I'm not sure if you would have seen Sherman if the injuries didn't pile up, but it has, and just like Antonio Brown last year with the injuries, this year it's Richard Sherman. So real quick, Joey Sala says, yeah, the only way Sherman plays is Sunday is if the backup cornerbacks go down with injuries during the game. So I don't think that's going to happen, because my guess is Sherman will be inactive. I don't believe he would even be active for the game. So that would allow the Bucs to be able to bring up somebody from the practice squad like Pierre Desir or Rashard Robinson, two guys who know the playbook a little bit better at this point. So I think I don't expect him to be active. TV12 Goatman says, my question is, when Sherman does play, who plays in the slot? Dean better on the outside, Sherman and cornerback play outside. So we will answer that a little bit later. We'll get into that as we get into more of the fit type deal, because I think that's one of the biggest questions. I think, you know, well, what does this mean for the rest of the guys? And it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, we'll talk about one scenario a little bit later, but the question I did want to ask you actually, I mean, right here, right now, is regarding Sherman's temporary spot on this defense. You know, with SMB missing an extended period of time, Jamel Dean kind of up and down, even though Jamel Dean did practice today, looking pretty hopeful for the week. You still don't entirely know if another thing is going to pop up later in the season. But as for Richard Sherman right now, when he eventually does suit up and play for Tampa Bay, what is his role going to be? Because we have to believe that his role right now is going to be a little bit different than what it is when guys like SMB and, you know, Jamel Dean are 100%.
Yeah, so I would assume that he's going to be the outside corner alongside Carlton Davis, I would assume. You know, the thing that's tough for a guy like Jamel Dean is Jamel Dean doesn't really play in the slot like at all. Like, he's never really done it. And Richard Sherman hasn't really done it. So it's not like you can expect that from Sherman either. Carlton Davis hasn't really done it. So those guys are outside corners. So that would leave essentially Sean Murphy Bunting as the nickel guy when he does return. I've seen a lot of people say, well, wouldn't you just, you know, for now, wouldn't it be Sherman on the outside with Davis and Dean on the inside? And no, like a lot of people were saying, oh, thank God that means no Ross Cockrell, even though if you actually watch the game, Ross Cockrell didn't play that bad. Ross Cockrell is still going to be the starting nickel, even if Jamel Dean misses time, and it's Richard Sherman and Carlton Davis on the outside. Ross Cockrell will still be the nickel cornerback, because, like I said, Jamel Dean just hasn't really done it. So when all three, you know, are in the fold, that Sherman, Dean, and Murphy Bunting, I would expect Dean to just be the fourth corner, honestly, and rightfully so. I think he hasn't earned it with his play, you know. Sean Murphy Bunting, yes, he hasn't played a whole lot, but it's been due to an injury, not performance. Yes, he wasn't great versus Dallas early on, but it, like, come on, it's like, what, 10 snaps or something?
Right.
So, you know, Jamel Dean to me has not earned it. So until he shows that he can, you know, come in and make plays and be an effective cornerback, he's going to be the fourth corner, and he's not going to get a ton of playing time unless they're in, you know, like dime sets and stuff.
Yeah. You're not the only one who has been a little harsh on Jamel Dean this year. And I don't even know if harsh is the word to use, because he has definitely underperformed. He is your breakout player of the year.
Yeah, right? That's looking like a complete bust.
Hey, at least my guy's got a couple of catches, right? OJ Howard started to get a little bit more. Yeah, two on the entire year.
I think we should eliminate that award from like the season predictions, because like we never get it right.
No, I don't think so. This is like my fourth, fifth year in a row of doing OJ Howard, and I just don't think it has ever worked out for me. So we'll see what happens, but tough sledding for both of our picks so far. Before we get to our first email, I have one more thing I want to ask you about as far as Richard Sherman, and we hinted at it a little bit earlier. The Kid Thuggin on Instagram, I like that username, man. He asks, what will Richard Sherman's role be when Jamel Dean and SMB are back and healthy? And I know we literally, you know, just said that we'll talk about this a few minutes ago, but the time has come. So as far as Richard Sherman, can't really get too comfortable in the role that he's about to pick up, because if SMB is good to go here in, I don't know, what are we thinking for SMB? Like 3 weeks, maybe, at this point? Three, four?
Yeah, the Bucs really haven't, I mean, Bruce Arians or anybody, it hasn't really been asked, but they haven't really given a complete answer yet. So that tells me that we're still a few weeks away. I think, what was he put on IR? Might have been right. I'm not sure if it was immediately after week one, but obviously this would technically be the third game that he would be missing, which is what that IR means. So I think they have to make a decision on him coming up, whether to keep him on IR or activate him. excuse me, choked on my own spit there. Wow.
It's the sunglasses, man.
It might be the sunglasses. Yeah. You know, there's a blooper, folks. People are going to think I'm dying on live on the pod. So, you know, Sean Murphy bunting. So they have New England, obviously, this week. And after that, he could be eligible to return. But based on the sounds of it, I'm not sure if I would expect him to just, boom, be right back out there for week five. Mm-hmm. Maybe week six. But yet again, you got to think week six is a Thursday night game. So that's week five is Sunday. That's already a short week. So maybe you could be looking at him returning like week seven versus the Bears. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But I think week six or week seven is much more realistic than this, you know, after his three games. Oh, he's back, because we haven't really been given much updates. So.
And as far as Sherman goes, like, what changes in his role once SMB is ready to go again?
Not a ton, I don't think. I still think he's going to be the outside corner most of the time. I think I read somewhere, I forget whose tweet it was from, but they want to keep Carlton Davis, I believe, on the right side of the field. So that's, I guess, Sherman will occupy the left side. So that's where he'll be. And I don't really think it's going to change a whole lot because, like I said, SMB plays the nickel. So if anything, it will help Sherman a little bit having a better nickel cornerback, because while I'm not a Ross Cockrell hater, I also think that Sean Murphy Bunting is a much better player. So,
yeah, sure.
You know, I think that'll help the whole secondary. So once this thing comes together and they're 100% healthy, you know, we could be looking at actually a decent secondary. So I don't think much changes for Sherman or Carlton Davis in their roles, but you know, a lot changes for Jamel Dean. I think that's what this impacts the most.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and get to our first email to wrap up the Richard Sherman conversation. This comes from Richard T. And this is a very interesting take. This was sent to us before the Bucs had signed Richard Sherman, so keep that in mind. But I like the question, because a lot of people were asking this same question after an NFC South division rival was able to make a couple of moves earlier this week. So our buddy Richard sent us an email at canofirepodcast@gmail.com, and he asks us this. How pissed off are we, as fans, that our division rivals, the Carolina Panthers, were able to pull off a steal of a trade for Jaguars cornerback C.J. Henderson, yet here we are hoping for Richard Sherman. I absolutely hate this, because now that Panthers corner duo on paper can look like one of the best tandems in the league next year, having two first-round corners. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, Richard. I'll tell you, man. It would have been pretty cool to see the Bucs be a little more active on a guy like C.J. Henderson. I'm not entirely sure what stopped them. Like, maybe they already had their mindset on Richard Sherman, but I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, obviously, every single trade and every single signing that's involved, the Bucs, I guess, have to do it, because you know, the Bucs roster should be 150 players.
Yeah, because yeah. You know, I mean, we got to sign everybody now.
Yeah, everybody that's released. It's, well, what about this guy? Well, what about this guy? Well, okay, calm down.
But I can obviously, okay, like, I can obviously understand, you know, where the conversation starts to take a turn is, like, look at the upside with C.J. Henderson. And
sure,
we kind of know what Richard Sherman is.
What's the difference? Yeah, what's the difference between C.J. Henderson right now and what they currently have? Not much, right?
Yeah.
it's a young corner.
Still trying to need some developing.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, C.J. Henderson, I think, is going to be a good player. Like, he was a first-round pick. Like, he's going to be a good player. But, like, what's the difference right now, right? The Panthers are in a different stage than the Bucs are. Despite being 3-0, the Panthers are in a different stage.
against three teams who are collectively 0-9. Can't forget that part.
No, that's the Broncos. That's the Broncos.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
not,
sorry.
Not
I'm
the
sorry.
Panthers. But, I mean, the like I said, the Panthers beat the Jets. Jets are terrible. The Panthers beat the Saints. The Saints were without Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Davenport, and they had like
14 and a half coaches.
Yeah, they didn't have any coaches, and then they beat the Texans. Come on. So I mean, the Panthers, while they're 3-0, they also were looking for the future, and that C.J. Henderson fits their timeline pretty well. Mm-hmm. Right now, the Bucs are a win now team. Right. C.J. Henderson, yes, he's an upgrade over a Ross Cockrell, you know, or a Dee Delaney, obviously. But, like, you know, what would you rather have as a win now team? Right. And I do think at that point, Monday, the trade was made. I think by that point, things were pretty close with Sherman. And you just, two things. One, it takes two to tango. Right. You know, so what if the Jaguars aren't interested in dealing with the Bucks?
Right.
It's something we'll never know. And we'll never know if the Bucks call.
Somebody in the I think TB12 Goatman said this in the chat, but like there's a lot of teams in the NFL who are going to go out of their way to not help the Bucks.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just nature. You know, why would you want to help out the champs? You're trying to beat them. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, not all teams run their team that way. And you know, the Jaguars obviously are in a much different stage than the Bucks. So I'm sure they wouldn't really care that much. But like, you know, it's, yeah, like I said, it does take two to tango. There's some times we don't know if the Bucks called. I'm sure there are trades right now that the Bucks have called on that we have no idea, right? There are players that other teams have called the Bucks about that we have no idea, I'm sure, right? A lot happens. It's just it takes two teams to get together and be interested in what they're offering. And sometimes, like I said, especially in this case, I just think it was so close with Richard Sherman. I think the contract agreement was pretty much the visit being set up.
Yeah,
the way things trended, it seemed like the visit was like, okay, that's it.
Right. I think he went to bed that night before he went to the facility, him and the Bucks organization knowing that he was going to end up signing the next day. I mean, he broke the news on his podcast, of all things.
At like 8:45 in the morning.
Exactly. I woke up and I was surprised to see that the Buccaneers had signed Sherm to a one-year deal. But I'll say this one thing about Richard Sherman. I'm grateful that we have him. He's just another guy that you didn't think you would see. He definitely helps at the position. He was very much a necessary signing. I think he's better than some of the corners we have on the roster, even though he's over 30.
He's the second best corner.
Yes.
He's, you know.
But yeah, I will say, for the credit, and there's not as many of them this time. But do you remember when we signed Antonio Brown? And the chatter was just all over the place. He had a lot of people who wanted him to have nothing to do with this organization because of his off the field stuff. Well, I mean, let's be realistic here. Richard Sherman did have his deal of off the field stuff this past offseason. But did you listen to his podcast?
A little bit, not a whole lot. I saw he was like kind of like joking about like the stuff. He was I had some legal troubles.
Yeah,
but like that, it was like literally like with like his wife and like his in-laws and stuff. Like,
and
his wife was like very supportive. Like, he said like his wife was the one that had to give the final go. If she said no to him moving across the country, it wasn't gonna do it.
Wow,
and she did. So
wow, learn something new every day. But as far as Richard Sherman goes, for that crowd of people who worry about stuff like that, I trust Richard Sherman more now than I did Antonio Brown when they signed him last year. And if that's saying something, Antonio Brown has turned me into a believer, right? He has been just a saint since he has been on Tampa Bay's roster. And I have no concerns at all that Richard Sherman is going to have any issue with like disciplinary stuff. Like he's, you know, he's a veteran. He's been there, done that. He's not going to take the microphone from Aaron Andrews and talk about how he's the best corner in the game and how you match him up with a star receiver like Crabtree. That's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about the best who was talking about you. Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best.
You seem to have watched that a lot.
Yeah, that's probably. I mean, I think that's everybody's favorite Richard Sherman moment. But basically,
I personally, I freaking hated that. But
basically, I like the signing. I think it was necessary. I think he's going to be a good fit for this team, and I really like the role that he has found himself in the secondary, because even though Carlton Davis is our number one guy and he's our, you know, he's our vet, he's still on his rookie contract.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes and no. There is a part of that that's true. Yes. However, this is year four, right? He has a Super Bowl ring.
He does.
Like, you know,
he's playing like one of the best corners in league right now as well. I think
technically, you know, that's a veteran. Technically, that is a veteran player. I think obviously you're a rookie, then you're a sophomore. And then I believe by year three, you are a veteran. So like if you're third year, you're a veteran corner. Now, obviously, huge difference between Carlton Davis being a veteran and Richard Sherman being a veteran. There is humongous difference, right? Even a guy like Pierre Desir, right? There's a humongous difference between Pierre Desir and Carlton Davis. But you know, like you're right. I mean, you are right in that it's like he's a younger veteran, but he is a veteran. But the issue is he is like the oldest one. That's the issue.
And we
that there was nobody that was more of a veteran than him, and that was the issue.
Right. And we've had this conversation before about how, you know, corner is a pretty tough position in the NFL.
Very tough.
Like, you don't see a lot of guys who play cornerback who are in the running for defensive rookie of the year, you know,
because
it's usually a pretty rough first year, a couple of adjustment seasons after that. Like, we talked a little while ago about Carlton Davis himself kind of getting over that hump from year three to year four, and he's still kind of figuring it out. He's playing the best that he ever has played, but that's just the nature of that corner position. Now, Richard Sherman, he's a five-time Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro. Like, he's been there, done that. He has experience with a lot of different defenses in the NFL as well, so it's a little bit easier for him to come in here and learn this thing. But I think it's just a good presence to have in the locker room. It's a good presence to have around those young guys in the secondary. Even though Carlton Davis is our vet, I like having Sherman in the locker room, and I think it'll lead to good things.
Yeah, so real quick, before we move on to other things, while we are on the cornerback discussion, while we were doing this, I got one more question from jandrew_90 on Instagram. And he says, do you think you grab a veteran cornerback in free agency during the offseason or take one in the draft? So basically, he's assuming that they're going to take a they're going to get a cornerback, which I'm not sure that's a slam dunk that they're going to be targeting a cornerback. There's a lot of season. There's a lot of season left, folks.
Just resign Sherman.
Well, I mean, well, it all depends on how he does.
I mean, yeah, it does, but it seems like the easy solution right now. If you're looking for a veteran, you kind of already have one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. So like I said, we got 14 regular season games left, folks. And we probably, you know, most 99% chance you got the playoffs. So, you know, like a lot of football left to be played. So I know a lot of people, like, there's been so many people ask me, oh, what running back are they going to draft? What cornerback are they going to draft? Who knows? There's a whole season to get through. It may be draft season. There's a whole season and free agency to get through. It might come to draft season and we're looking at a position we didn't even think we would have to look at. Right, for them to be drafting. You know, if they lose Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin, do you look at wide receiver? You know, like that's the things you got to think about, right? If they don't re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul or Ndamukong Suh, do you look there? It's, you know, it's so many factors. But to try and best answer the question, I guess, I would think more likely they would be more likely to grab a veteran corner, whether that is re-sign Richard Sherman or sign another veteran or trade for a veteran. I don't know if they want to go down that route of drafting a secondary player and developing him again and again while they're still in win now mode. So I would say it's more likely they would sign or trade for an already established player than to draft one, even though there could be some talented players there. I think that it would be more likely just to get the veteran. Real quick, is it Kyle?
Yeah,
Kyle Maidment?
Yeah, Kyle.
Okay. That's a cool name. That's a cool way to spell Kyle.
Kyle with a C.
Yeah. Can you tell everyone to stop with the Marlon Mack trade talk? Yeah, there's really nothing there, I think, from the Bucs side. The Bucs like Marlon Mack coming out, but I just don't think – obviously, like, the running back room needs a boost, like it does, but I think that's going to have to come internally. That's not going to have to come from an outside source, not at this time, at least. So I wouldn't expect it. I don't think the Bucs are going to be willing to give up a late round pick for something as insignificant as a running back when they already have, like, they have talented backs. Leonard Fournette does not suck at football. Ronald Jones does not suck at football. It's just right now they're just not doing the right thing. So I think their plan is just wait it out and just see.
Yeah. And just like you said, to start all of that, there is a lot of football left. So for guys like Leonard Fournette, for Rojo, or anybody else who might need to figure it out, there is still plenty of football left. And the good news, the Bucs are still positive on the record sheet, by the way, 2-1 headed into this matchup against the New England Patriots. Let's talk a little more Bucs news. Some of the latest to come out of One Buck Place. I think this news came out yesterday or the day before, but not a lot of people have been talking about it. And I'm not sure if everybody knows, but the Bucs placed wide receiver Scotty Miller on the injury reserve. So it means he's going to be missing a minimum of 3 weeks. But when Bruce Arians was asked about it, I guess he is suffering from a, quote, severe case of turf toe, basically is what it is. And he is expected to miss a significant amount of time, which obviously is not great news for Scotty Miller.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw people freaking out over this. I just want to preface this with by saying this. I like what Scotty Miller brings to the offense. We talked about how he is a one-trick pony, but when you have a wide receiver room as talented as the Bucs do, you don't need Scotty Miller to be this guy that can do all this different stuff. However, he was barely seeing the field as is when he was healthy. As you know, it was with like Antonio Brown there and Tyler Johnson, like everyone available, he was barely seeing the football field.
Even without AB, it didn't seem like he was getting that much attention.
They're not really gonna. I don't think they're gonna really miss him. Like there's a few things that you can do with him that obviously will hurt, but there's just so much talent, and they're top four. I mean, you know, obviously Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, and I think Tyler Johnson are all like better players than Scotty Miller. Like, I think they're all better football players. So I don't think you're going to be, maybe you miss a big play here and there, but like he barely played. So like, I don't think this loss is huge.
Yeah.
Even though it does suck for Scotty. But like I said, I like, you know, you always like that deep threat, but I don't think it's a huge deal. Hopefully a severe case of turf toe. Andrew Bargain. Yeah, I don't know. Why is Evan wearing sunglasses inside? I'm a douchebag. I gotta stick to the plan here.
Why is Evan wearing sunglasses? Cause he's a douchebag. Why else?
That's right.
I don't know why people expected anything else from you.
Real quick. Have you ever seen superhero movie?
Oh, it's like, my God. A spoof. Isn't like Drake Bell in it?
Yeah, Drake Bell.
Yeah, many years ago I saw it, but I have not seen it in a very long time. It was a pretty forgettable movie, if you ask.
Oh, no way. Dude, that movie's hysterical. No. But anyways, they give out an award for the douchebag of the year. And like, that's got my name written all over it. That's why I'm wearing the sunglasses.
I'll make you a trophy by the watch party, and I'll present you with your award.
Ladies and gentlemen, douchebag of the year.
We'll give you the douchebag of the year award, and I'll get my second straight King of the Wing title with my big fancy championship belt made. That'll be great.
I don't agree. I don't agree. Okay. Chase said, are you a Phillies fan? Sadly, yes. Rojo and Lenny, give them both an enema. Is this finding Nemo? I don't know, Emily. Tell me what you meant to put. Give them the damn ball. Get out there and earn your damn money. Hey, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, do you see what I'm saying?
No, I know what she meant, and you said
I live in an anemone.
No, that's not what.
Yeah, that's exactly what I read it as.
Well, that's not what she said. I'll leave it at that. Speaking of Emily Compa, we have an email that we're going to read here in just a minute. But let's talk about some other guys who were on the mend this week. Jason Pierre-Paul, his stat is still kind of up in the air. Do you think we see JPP? Bruce doesn't seem too confident about it.
I doubt it. Yeah, I think it might be another week. Jason Pierre-Paul has like been providing medical updates like on himself on Instagram, on his Instagram story, and he said
he's a great follow, dude.
Yeah, he said it would be okay and everything, but yeah, I wouldn't expect it this week. Maybe next week, but I think for this week, I don't really think so. It, like you said, doesn't really seem like it's something that Bruce Arians is expecting.
Yeah, it's going to be another week with a lot of eyes on Joe Tryon. While we didn't see him obviously get to the quarterback as
and
much last week.
Something to note today, just today, and obviously we'll go over this in our game preview, but just today, the Patriots, both starting tackles for the Patriots were limited in practice. So just something to monitor.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on. Another guy for the Buccaneers who may or may not play this weekend. We mentioned him earlier. That's corner Jamel Dean. Now, obviously, if he's able to go, I think it's going to be huge for the secondary, because without him, It's not like you're going to have Richard Sherman out there.
Yeah. While Dean has struggled, it could be much worse. You can't go out there trotting D. Delaney out there as your number two corner.
Well, and I guess, you know, Jamel Dean, his status obviously up in the air, but the Bucs not in a hurry to play Richard Sherman this week. Is it a statement at all of what they think about Mac Jones' passing attack in New England? Like, is it, you know, is that why we're not in as much of a hurry? Like, maybe if they were playing Stafford this week, they try and make a little bit more of an effort to get Sherman out there.
I'll tell you what, if that is, that's unacceptable to me. I mean, what gives you the right to do that? You know, the Atlanta offense just put up 17 against the Giants. They put up 6 against the Eagles. They put up 25 against you. Like,
that's also true.
What gives you the right to say, oh, you know what? We don't really have to, you know. Yeah. Oh, it's the Patriots offense. They haven't really scored much. It's a rookie quarterback. We don't really have to do that. No way. Like, it could be, but it better not be. Because if that's the case, that's like embarrassing and extremely concerning if that's like their mindset. Oh, we don't have to put forth our best effort because, you know, it's Mac Jones. Like, no. Like, if that happens, if you have that mindset, then you're going to go out and get sliced up by Mac Jones. That's what's going to happen. So if you have that mindset, which I don't think they do, right? Let me just say that. I don't think they do.
I don't think any NFL team is thinking that way. I was just trying to paraphrase, basically.
Yeah, but, like, you know, can't take anybody lightly. This is the NFL, right? They're all professionals. They're all, you know, they're all here for a reason, so.
Well, if my recent tweet, I think one of my more popular recent tweets, is anything to go off of, I had Mac Jones pinned to go for like 450 yards and six touchdowns this week.
Yeah, and you got killed for it.
What? No, a lot of people were laughing their ass off at it because people
if I say it, though, people kill me.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, you know.
Douchebag of the year.
Let's go ahead and talk about this last guy whose status is a little foggy for this Sunday, and let's do it through an email, right? I guess we'll talk about it. Gio Bernard, our buddy Emily Compa, sends us an email. And she says, Rhett and Evan, Emily Compa here. Before you say I'm overreacting, I just get frustrated with stupid stuff having to do with this team. I am a loyal fan, and I have followed this team since they were the yucks. But running back Gio Bernard is more than capable of handling our running game, and I say that because we have no running game. With Lenny being so inconsistent and Rojo being down on himself, what the holy hell is the holdup with putting Gio in there to get going? Go Bucks, from Emily. Well, I will say that Gio, I wouldn't trust him with like the run game. I'd like to see him get more involved in the passing game because that's where we saw him make those plays last week against the Rams. Even though it was kind of garbage time, there were critical, huge third down conversions. The guy has wheels, and if he gets a couple of blockers, catches a pass in the flat, has blockers in front of him and one man to miss, he's going to get a lot of yards. I would like to see him a little more involved, but at the same time, we're talking about him now because his status also kind of up in the air. I think Bruce said that he had a minor MCL tear. But
no, it's an MCL sprain.
Okay, sprain. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if it was a tear, he wouldn't be playing.
Well, that's what I was like. That's why I wanted to be sure. Yeah. It sounds pretty brutal. But for as painful as that dive into the end zone looked, it was a touchdown for Gio. But good to hear that his injury is not as serious. As far as his status goes this week, do you think he's going to play? And Emily's question, what have you got?
As far as this week, I don't know if he's going to play. He didn't practice today. So we'll see we're recording this on Wednesday. If you're listening to this, this is on Wednesday. So the Wednesday practice, he didn't practice. He has Thursday and Friday. So that we'll see what happens. I think they're going to want to give him a go. It might come down to a game time decision. Obviously the game is at night, so that helps a little bit. He can wake up, see how he feels in the morning, do a couple stretches, maybe a couple workouts, see how the knee's feeling. I think it's, yeah, knee. Yeah, he's MCL. Yeah. So, I mean, luckily that's not worse because it sure didn't look great. But it was, unfortunately, it was not ACL or, like you said, an MCL tear because it's just a sprain and they really dodged a bullet there, as they did with Jamel Dean, who was also another knee injury. I think. So, and TB12 Goodman says Gio can run the ball. He can, but he's not like, I don't think he's the best option. I still believe that Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones were both better options in their actual run game than Gio Bernard. Gio Bernard was brought here for one reason, and that was to catch passes, because no other Bucs running back basically could. And I think his usage on Sunday was good. I don't really think they have to change much there. The only thing I will say is that on a normal game, they have Antonio Brown.
Who will be back at practice tomorrow, yes, no matter yes. what.
Which is kind of strange, right?
That he Bruce hasn't Arian been said, back already?
Yeah, Bruce Arians said his 10 days are up, but if you're vaccinated, you shouldn't have to wait out 10 days. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, he'll be back. So that's the bottom line there. So yeah, I mean, Gio Bernard, like I said, though, but normally you'd have Antonio Brown there, right? And I think that, obviously, it's just one guy, but like that makes all the difference in the world. I really think maybe this has opened the Bucs' eyes up a little bit and say, like, wow, Gio Bernard is actually the best receiving option of our running backs. How about that?
I'd like to think so. Like, just to see see him catch a pass on like first down. Could you imagine? Right. Instead of running it on first down up the gut for a very minimal gain. Well,
okay. That narrative is dumb. So I gotta stop.
No, there are actually statistics this year that show the Buccaneers have gotten a lot better about passing on first down. So that narrative can be put to bed. Sorry,
the only reason it's like relevant is because of how they started the game. Because they did start the game with some first down runs and stuff with on Sunday against LA with Fournette. And that's the only reason that's really relevant in people's minds. But yes, they have passed them more on first down, and they've been using more play action, like all the things that people, you know, type on Twitter with their big Twitter fingers, you know, they've done it. So relax. But yeah, I mean, like I said, Gio Bernard was here to catch passes. He did that for, you know, like I said, that Rams game was spectacular. But also, I'm not sure if you can expect what he had, 7 receptions or something. I'm not sure if you can expect that. So
one of our moderators, you know, David, said you look like an assistant coach at practice.
Yeah, you know, just gotta Gio. You know, Gio, he's gotta get better, and you know, we'll work on that knee. But you know, he should be good to go for Sunday, and we'll have to work him in the offense. You know, so yeah, that's all coach speak, right? Yeah. You know, New England, that rookie quarterback is tremendous. He's really doing a great job, and it's gonna be a challenge. You know, Coach Belichick checks kind of those guys ready to go, and you know, we got to focus off the distractions. You know, we know what this game means to two of our guys, but we can't focus on that right now. We have to focus on beating New England.
Listen, we're on to New England.
We're on to New England. That's it. So yeah, I like I said, I hope that that game opened the Bucs' eyes and like they finally realized something that everybody knew. And I thought the Bucs knew when they signed Gio Bernard that like he's the best pass catcher and it's not very close. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Obviously it does depend on his health this week, but I think long-term, I think you will end up seeing Gio Bernard catch more passes. I'm not saying he's going to get as many catches as he did last week because, you know, all matchups are different, but I do think you'll see him more involved in this offense as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, well, I will definitely be a very big fan of that move, getting the ball in his hands a little bit more. Let's get to our last mailbag question, and then we'll close it out with a take bag if you have one. I don't know if you usually have one, but I guess we'll find out here in a couple minutes, won't we?
I guess so. We'll see.
So our buddy Muscle Mills on Instagram with our final question, and we normally like to close with a fun one, right? Every now and again, you guys can ask us whatever the hell you want. But if it's not related to the team right now, then maybe we're just going to push it to the end of the show. But I really like this question, and I'm curious to hear what the live chat thinks of this one. Muscle Mills says, in 2002, I thought that John Gruden was overrated. Would Tony Dungy still have won the Super Bowl with this Bucs team? I believe so. And I will start this one off by saying, actually directing you to the Bert Emanuel catch. I'm sure I am not the only Bucs fan you have heard talk about this, and I will definitely not be the last, because for a lot of the OGs, they will never forget 1999 playing the greatest show on turf. It was a defensive game, but the Buccaneers got a critical first down with Bert Emanuel. Refs ruled it an incomplete pass. Buccaneers lose the game. A lot of people say that even if he had the first down, the Bucs weren't going to score because they couldn't score anything that day, but I don't know. I feel like if Bert Emanuel gets that catch, Bucks end up winning that game. Buccaneers steamroll whoever they play in the Super Bowl, which was Tennessee, right? Yep. Would have been Tennessee. Yep. They would have absolutely annihilated them, which means the Bucks would have had their first franchise Super Bowl title in 1999. It also means that Tony Dungy probably would not have parted ways with the organization because he had brought them a Super Bowl title, which was the goal for so long. And of course, we all recognize Tony Dungy as the architect who brought in these great players, helped turn this team around from the yucks to the Bucks pewter power. Like, that's Tony Dungy, baby. But I think that if the Bucks had won in 99, Dungy probably would have won another Super Bowl. I don't know
That's not the question, though.
It's not the question.
The question was, would he have won in 2002?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. And it's mostly because, yes, I understand that the defense and stuff was Tony Dungy's doing. Like, I understand that, right?
Basically, Gruden had Oakland's playbook. Is
also, yeah, sure. But also, didn't the Bucks score? I understand the Bert Emanuel rule. Didn't they score like 9 points in that Rams game?
Yeah, it was either six game? Or nine. It was not an offensive game for either of those teams.
No, it wasn't an offensive game anytime the Bucks really took the field under Tony Dungy. And Gruden helped with that. And what Gruden did, it didn't turn the Bucks into this offensive juggernaut, but he did just enough. Here's who Gruden brought in the offseason, right? Keenan McCardell, Ken Doger, Joe Juravicius, Michael Pittman, and Ricky Dudley. You know, do those players come there if Gruden's not the coach? Do they? I don't know. I really don't know. He brought those guys there to run the offense, and it worked. So I'm not sure. You know, everybody says, oh, we won it with Dungy's team, won it with Dungy's team. With the defense, sure, right? It was Dungy's defense. You have to give credit there. It was a lot of, like, yeah, sure. Like, he built that defense. I get it. But also, like, yeah, you could say, well, the Bert Emanuel catch of the thing. But it didn't happen, right? It didn't.
There's nothing you can do about it, but, you know, bitch on the internet 28 years later.
Yeah, okay. What about 2000? What about 2001? Why didn't they win it then? You know, they always had a lack of offense. Well, why didn't they win it then? If they were so, you know, 1999 was the closest they got. But then what about 2000? What about 2001? So he didn't do it. And I do think that John Gruden made a difference. His offensive schemes, the players he brought in to help run the offense, take some of the pressure off Keyshawn Johnson. I was thinking Keenan McCardell and Keyshawn Johnson. You know, the pressure to take, you know, off of him. Give Brad Johnson more options. I do believe that John Gruden, I don't know in 2002 if they, it was also might have been a mentality thing. That Tony Dungy team, I don't know if they go into Philadelphia in that NFC Championship game and win. I don't. I just think those Dungy teams, because the previous 2 years, that's where their season ended. That was it. Those Dungy teams, I feel like, were just really scared of Philadelphia. And I think when Gruden was there, and, you know, I watched the America's game with the Bucks, the 2002 one. And after they lost to the Eagles in the regular season in Philly, you know, Warren Sapp was telling the story of how he was on the bus and he was sort of angry. And Gruden goes, don't worry. Like, I got him. I know what they're running. I got him. You know, and next time we see him, I think Sapp said, like, we're going to stick a fork in him. And Gruden recognized the Bucs were dead in the water in that game. Gruden recognized a certain coverage that they were running, and that's when he said, I got him. And Joe Juravicius ran the fastest he ever has, and that changed the entire game. So that's why, that is my case for why John Gruden was important to the Bucs winning the Super Bowl. It wasn't just Tony Dungy's team. They wouldn't have just, if Tony Dungy was the coach, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. Like, I think Gruden played a factor. I'm not saying what happens after that happened after that. And Dungy got his Super Bowl. Great for him. Gruden, you know, they made the playoffs twice after that. Didn't really work out. Whatever. But for that particular 2002 season, going into Philly, playing San Francisco, you know, the week before, then playing Oakland, I think that John Gruden made the difference.
Yeah. I like it, man. I mean, I know I said Tony Dungy probably would have won, but I think both of those coaches are very important in their roles in Bucks history.
And you can make arguments for either one. Sure. I would accept that.
I mean,
one.
With any hypothetical football situation of, you know, over 20 years ago, we could sit here all day and argue about it. But like you said, it doesn't really matter what if. What's done is done. And Bucks ended up winning their first title in 2002, and that's the way it was. David Cardona, one of our mods, with a great point here. He says, John Gruden is the winningest coach in Bucks history for a reason. He could build a team and had the coaches to be consistently competitive. And that's exactly where Bruce Arians and crew is trying to top. And I do agree. I think Bruce Arians and crew is already off to a great start. One Super Bowl is good enough. But, you know, with everybody brought back for another year and really no signs of slowing down, I'm pretty interested to see what happens
now,
what
Bruce's
record is once it's all said and done. I don't think he's going to be a coach as long as Gruden was, obviously.
No. Yeah, he won't be. What did Gruden coach? Like 8 years, I think, he coached the Bucks or something like that.
He got fired in 2008.
So, yeah. But yeah, six or seven seasons, whatever it was. While we do say that and praise Gruden, just like I said, it's a mailbag episode. We're just chatting. Man, did they dodge a bullet by not hiring Gruden in 2017? I had a few people that I talked to explain to me just how close it was, and it was it was close, and they really really dodged a bullet.
The last understanding that I had about that situation, and it's funny that we're talking about it again, because that was like, I remember talking about that on the podcast, and me personally, I was Team Gruden. I'm all about reunions, right? And I thought maybe it would be good.
Dude, just him, all the coaching rumors that he was going to come out, and then he didn't. And then Scott Reynolds comes out with that, like, John Gruden's ready to coach again. And then, like, I remember he came out with that Fab Five, or, like, his two-point conversion, and he was like, Gruden's going to be the coach of the Bucks. And then, like, not really necessarily sources, but then I remember Ian Rappaport came out. I think it was, like, Christmas Eve. He came out and said, oh, John Gruden has been reaching out to assistant coaches and putting a staff together, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are very interested. And I was like, holy crap.
Well, so I guess the difference, obviously, was money, length, and personnel control.
Yeah, they weren't willing to give a 10-year guaranteed
contract. The Bucks wanted to give him, what was it, 5-year? I don't even know. Whatever bozo bucks he's getting paid in the Raiders, it was like half of that. But it was a 5-year deal with no personnel control. And then in swoop the Raiders with 10 years, whatever the hell he's getting paid.
$100 million.
Yeah, the Bucks. I think the Bucks wanted 5-year, $50 million. And he wanted a little bit longer, a little more security. So what more security than a 10-year contract and personnel control? Because they didn't want to give him personnel control.
Yeah, that played more of a factor than the actual number of years on the contract.
Yeah,
that played way more of a factor. So, that was a fun little time in Bucks history, though. That's like a forgotten thing. And remember that Monday Night Football game when they inducted Gruden
in the Ring of Honor
and all those rumors and stuff, man. That was nuts.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's just
literally
it's crazy.
Dirt Cutter standing on the sideline.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I remember Jameis just had like the game of his life, and we're all like, he did it because it's in front of Gruden.
Right. Yeah.
And we're like, he's trying to show off for Gruden. I mean, yeah, like I said, there was a lot of people in that building. You know, I spoke to some, you know, people, and there's a lot of people in that building, some higher up people in that building who really thought that that was happening. And it was very close. So the Bucks did dodge a bullet there. And yeah, who knows where this team would be right now, man. I don't think they would have a Super Bowl. But yeah, who knows? Obviously John Gruden has the Raiders off to a great start, like whatever, but yeah, based on what the success the Bucks have had, they dodged a huge bullet.
Yeah, thank God for Bruce Arians, man. We like to close the show every single week with the newest segment on the show. If you have one this week, Evan, do you have a take bag?
I don't really have one take bag. I have one little thing. Richard Sherman is wearing number 5, so that'll give some Josh Freeman flashbacks.
Oh yeah, right.
It's not even like the new numbers. It's like the old jersey still. So it's like the Freeman like era of jersey. It's like, whoa, it's kind of crazy. But he explained a cool story because of it. Somebody asked him, you know, why 5, and he said, well, my son was born on the 5th, and he said my son was actually born on February 5th, so 2/5. and then just the five. Obviously, you can corners are allowed to be single digits, which is going to mess me up a ton this year. I look at Leonard Fournette and Jalen Darden, and I'm like, what is this?
Luckily, I'm pretty sure that for the time being, Sherman's the only single digit guy we have back there.
I think so. So, and a lot of people, I'm not sure if people are wondering, so Gia Bernard has 25. Mm-hmm. Even if Sherman wanted to pay him, even if they agreed on it, the rule states once the season begins, you cannot change numbers, like swap numbers. Like you can, like, I don't believe you can change. So technically the Panthers week one, right? I believe Shaq Thompson and another linebacker changed their numbers, but that was week before the first game.
It was like the deadline.
So I believe once the games start, you are not allowed to switch numbers, even if you have an agreement to pay for it. So if Sherman comes back next year, maybe he does take 25, but that's why he's not having 25. Why hasn't Pierre Desir been brought up from the practice squad? I mean, the Bucs might do that. You can do that.
I think it'll happen this week.
Yeah, you can do that. Typically, they do it on Friday or Saturday before the game. So if they are going to do it, or, you know, last week it was Rashard Robinson. If they just do that again, it'll be one of those days. I wouldn't really worry about it too much.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for all of our people just now getting here, apologies. That's the show. Thank you so much for checking out this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast, specifically the mailbag edition of the show. Very laid back. Love talking with you guys in the live chat. And of course, interacting on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. And send us an email anytime, cannonfirepodcast@gmail.com, and we will for sure be reading it on the mailbag show. Evan, I got to commend you, my friend. You know, with those sunglasses on, staring at a computer screen for a solid hour at this point, I am pretty impressed. So good job, my man. Thanks for committing to the bit, right?
Yeah. What, did you think I was going to take them off and move it through?
Yeah, No, I guess not.
I think there was a part of you that did. Maybe. I think there was a part of you Maybe. That did not believe in Mr. Too Legit to Quit. I'm too legit to quit. I can't quit it.
Forgot about that moniker too, man.
Yeah, I don't know how you forget that. I don't know how anybody forgets that. I'm never forget that. That's basically my theme song.
I'm just not legitimate enough.
If I don't enter the watch party to that song, I am going to be furious. I won't show it. But deep down inside, just know that I am going to be furious.
Well, you're going to have to talk to your chauffeur or whoever ends up driving you to the watch party. I think it's going to be me or James.
Yeah, well, so there you go. I was about to say, so that's easy.
Man. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for hanging out with us in the live chat once again. Spiritual Sniper, Willie Beeman, David Cardona, a couple of
shout out Coach Wanish.
Yeah. Coach Wanish.
Yeah, you know, we gotta focus on the New England Patriots. And we know Tom has a great history there, but you know, we gotta focus on it now. We gotta focus on the group we have and go out there Sunday night and win a football game. That's the bottom line. And I think, you know, the Patriots have a great team. I know they lost a few close games, but you know, their quarterback's really kept them in it, and it's gonna be a real challenge. But we gotta be ready to go for Sunday night.
Oh my good God. Shout out to everybody who sent their questions in this week. Like I said before, you can always reach us, cannonfirepodcast@gmail.com, or social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show, and of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can check out my co-host Evan on Instagram @Bucs_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram, rapidly approaching 30,000 followers.
What? Wait, real quick. As a fan from Hawaii, I always look forward to watching Cannon Fire Podcast for news and updates. Thank you a lot, DJ.
Hell yeah, man. Tal. Watching us all the way in the islands.
And David Cardona, Coach Wanis, Assistant Coach Matthew, and Publix employee James.
Oh, dude. That's the best. I like
Publix
that.
Publix employee James.
What a staff.
Publix employee. We got our own Publix employee.
He does the social media and stuff.
Ooh, for Publix, not for us. Not for the team. For his local Publix, his specific store.
Our buddy Joey Salas also says he's a fan in Miami. 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 Hawaii. Same place, obviously. He is also in Hawaii.
Publix employee, Jay.
Hey, you gotta be. That's you gotta good. Be. That's good. I mean, we got some Hawaii locals in here, so if anybody can attest to this, it's them. But like, I feel like you got to be careful in Hawaii. Like, if you're not in the touristy Aloha. Areas, if you're not in like, you know, a resort property, dude, I have heard that if you go like mess around in Hawaii and be in places you shouldn't be, you will get your ass kicked.
What do you mean? Everybody in Hawaii is nice.
No, dude. I
Aloha,
heard,
mahalo.
Spiritual Sniper says he's a Brady fan in Massachusetts. Everybody checking in, man. I love to hear it. Zamrail says from the Bay Area here.
Anybody else checking in from where they're from really fast before we wrap things up?
Shane Smith also hanging out with us says, what's up, boys? Willie Beeman, as we know, up there.
Shout out to Hawaii.
All right. Shout out to Hawaii, bro.
Willie Beeman. I owe Willie Beeman a lunch.
You do. Yeah, we talked about that last time. You need to.
I'm just going to DoorDash it to him.
Shane's hanging out in Reno, Nevada. The smallest, what is it? The littlest big town in the world, littlest big city in the world, or something?
I don't know. AZ Phoenix, we got AZ.
Fuck the world from Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Smith says, "What's up, dude?" Shane Smith and Mr. Smith, same guy.
He said, "Well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, you know, what do you want to be addressed as, Shane Smith or Mr. Smith?"
Well, there's two different guys in the chat.
Maybe. Frederick, Maryland. All right, cool. We got some Maryland. Evan, if you coach Brady, would you curse him out for interception? I'd let Brady do whatever he wanted. Okay. If Brady threw an interception, he could curse me out. It would be my fault.
Mr. Smith says, shout out from Riverview. Hell yeah, dude. I moved from Riverview a little over a year ago. And I'll be honest with you, I hate that part of town now. It
James is
there.
James is MIA tonight. Thank God. He's probably working at Publix. I don't know.
He's probably stocking the shelves
He's grinding away at Publix, man. He's just.
Oh, dude.
He literally works at Publix like one day a week. So.
Yeah, well, he's a hustler, man.
He's a hustler. YouTube's his life, I guess. That's just he's a YouTuber.
Oh man,
he'll be on FaceTime with me. While he's at work.
Oh, like, I thought you were promoting that he's going to be a. No, yeah, no. He will.
He goes like this, like with his phone. Here, talk to this guy. This is my friend here. He'll be like,
hey, man, this is my coworker. Yeah, this is Brett Nevin from the Cannon Fire podcast. You know these guys.
And then they're like, no, who are they? Oh, come on.
Oh, dude. I guess we should wrap this thing up. Thank you guys once again for hanging out with us live on YouTube.
Shout out, Publix employee James.
Yeah, right.
Originally a South Jersey guy, but Philly's been at home for 6 years. Where at in South Jersey? So Richard Sherman. How about that, guys? Huh? The Bucks made us look like fools yet again. So.
We're not the only ones. We're not the only people who crapped on that take a week and a half ago.
I'll tell you right now, when Tom Brady retires in 10 years, there's no way that Patrick Mahomes is taking over for him. There's no way. So
speak it into existence now.
Never going to happen. Shane Smith, keep up the content, boys. Appreciate it. Really do.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Wanted to shout out we had like 50 people watching. We know it's late, so we appreciate it. We will have a game preview show coming out this week to preview the game. This wasn't really a preview show. We barely actually talked about the game because like all the news. So
we've just been sitting around bullshitting for the last 10 minutes.
Hey, that's what this is about. It's fun.
No, that's the spirit of the mailbag show.
Okay, from Clementon and Jay. Okay, cool. That's cool, Willie. So thanks a lot for the support, guys. Thanks a lot for watching. And Coach Wanish, too legit to quit, finally has said his piece. So I'm outie.
There we go. With the sunglasses and all. Coach taking no more questions. Subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Of course, we'll have to come up with a Coach emoji. Coach Wanish emoji for this. Can you do custom emojis on YouTube chat? I think you can. If you can, like you can on Twitch, then I'm definitely going to look into that. We'll make something happen. But thank you once again for checking out the show. Subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Plenty of great Buccaneers content between now and the end of the season. And one more special shout out to our sponsors, betonline.ag. If you are looking to bet on any of the action this coming week 4 weekend, go to betonline.ag. If you download their app or you sign up on their website, you can get a 50% deposit bonus on your first deposit. So go out there and make some money, man. proud sponsor of the Cannon Fire Podcast. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off for my co-host, Coach Evan Wanish. And we will catch you Friday for the game preview show. Be on the lookout for that. Thank you guys once again for checking out this week's episode. We'll talk to you later this week with the game preview. Until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.